JC Corcoran Podcast.
You got drunk?
When I got drunk, yeah. I was a very straight-laced.
Where are you when this happened?
I was 19 years old, and I decided to drink, you know. And I was out with my buddies at a bar. My God, we started drinking. They had those shooters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are hard to take, you know. You can't gauge them, you know. And before you knew it, I was so crazily drunk, like just drunk out of my mind. And so then time passes in a weird way and everything. And my friends, they wanted to leave the bar.
Right.
Like, yeah, let's go, right? And I'm like, ah! I got like crazy all of a sudden, right? So I'm like, why should I leave? We're having fun here at the bar. You guys leave if you want, right? So they go. And I'm making friends with everybody, man. There's a fat guy with a beard, you know? And there's a jukebox. It was like a Western movie, you know what I mean? And there's a bartender. There's all kinds of ladies and everything like that. And everybody's my friend, right? So I'm getting drunker and drunker with these shots, you know, and they're all crazy, dirty sex name shots, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
Here, have a dirty sex, you know, like, whatever. They make you order them to humiliate you.
Yeah.
You're a drunk loser. You're like, yeah, can you have sex with that? Just come on. So anyways, I get all drunk, and then I go into the bathroom, and a dude gives me some pills. He has some pills.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And you're not supposed to ever mix pills with booze.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then any doctor...
What they told you up at the Mayo Clinic?
Yeah. But this guy was not a doctor. He was just a guy I met in the bathroom.
Even worse than a GP.
He was worse than a GP. His name, though, was Dr. Midnight. But I found out he was not accredited.
Not really a doctor, no. Yeah.
So anyways, I take these pills, and what they do is, they say that you're not supposed to mix them, but on the other hand, in one way, it works. So I'm like so drunk now and having so much fun and everything. Hey, fat bearded guy having an arm wrestle with him. I don't know how to arm wrestle. Then all of a sudden I'm playing pool. I go to shoot a thing of pool and I fall down right in all the pool balls. And then I just black out, what's called blacking out.
Yeah.
It's not passing out.
You black out.
You don't remember anything.
Oh, yeah.
I wake up, right? I'm in a bed, but it's not my bed, you know? And I look beside me. Who do I see? The fat bearded guy. So I go, holy Lord God, I had sex with the fat bearded guy. And at this point in my life, I was a young man. I had never had intercourse in my life.
Right.
And I'd always imagined it, but I never imagined it that way.
You know? I wouldn't think so. No.
I imagined a nice lady in a dress.
That's right.
So...
But there's got to be a first time for everybody.
It's not all gravy.
No.
So I look over and I go, oh my God. Then I notice we're in twin beds there. You know, we're not like not in the same bed. Right. And I go, is this some kind of one of them old fashioned gay guys?
I don't know.
There's no such thing.
No.
Gay guys are generally not old-fashioned. They're right on top of the latest thing.
They're happening.
They're happening. They're happening.
Right on top of the latest thing. Yeah, that's right, Norm.
And they're so ahead of things, they have sex, and they don't even use a lady. So anyways, the upshot of the story is, what happens is I never had sex with this fat guy with a beard. This guy had checked me into a rehab.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was like a dirty drunk, and he took me for a dirty drunk too, So I'm like, what the hell? He says, yeah, man, you know, I'll go here in rehab, man. It's good for both of us. And I'm like, oh, God. So I had a big, like a robe on and fluffy slippers. They wouldn't give me my clothes, right?
Oh, how long were you in?
They had a bag of my clothes somewhere. They wouldn't tell me where I was.
Would they let you out?
No, 3 days I had to stay.
3 days?
Yeah.
That's awful.
They made me go to what is called an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, right? And I get up, I go, hey, I'm not an alcoholic, which it turns out is what a lot of alcoholics
They all say that, yeah.
I said, the fat bearded guy, there's the alcoholic right over there.
Now, how long did you guys date?
Oh!
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wow, Friday and Cinco de Mayo on the same day. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com, Friday, May 5th, 2023. How you doing? Yep, we love Mexican drinks. We love Mexican food. We love Mexican music. We're just not that crazy about Mexicans, apparently. Oh, we'll take all your stuff. And we love coming to your country, by the way, on vacation. But could you arrange somehow to have fewer Mexicans? This seems to be the attitude of Americans right now. Give us all the Mexican stuff. Hold back on the actual Mexicans. There's a great Matthew Perry movie with Salma Hayek called Fools Rush In. And it's a little better movie than I think it got credit for. It's pretty funny. That was Matthew Perry with his thin head as opposed to the wideness of his head. How did that happen to him and also to Vince Vaughn? My God, you look at movies. There's a scene where Vince Vaughn plays a quarterback in Rudy. He's not in it a lot, but he's in it, particularly towards the end. And his head is like a pencil. Now you see him, and Vince Vaughn's head is the size of a cinder block. Same thing with Matthew Perry. My daughter, who is 13, is absolutely obsessed with the TV show Friends, and especially Jennifer Aniston, and I know who isn't, right? But, you know, you look at those early episodes of Friends, there's his head. Looks like a pencil. Look at him now. Cinder block. Deborah Harry is another one. You look at Debbie Harry, although she never had a thin head or face, but now looks like somebody put too much air in a pool float. Oh, but the one that takes the cake today, I'm putting this picture up on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, and if you can tell me who the famous actress is next to Michael J. Fox in this picture, you're better than I was. Somebody will get it, but it won't be easy. And we started with Norm Macdonald today. Great story. You know, that was David Letterman's favorite stand-up comedian. And that story is hilarious. And just there was just something about the way Norm talked that made it even funnier. We had him on the show many times. So the thing about it is I think that Norm would stay out late, let's put it that way, and then somebody would wake him up and say, Norm, got to get up, got to go do the morning radio thing. And, you know, they would drag him out of the hotel, and, you know, he'd show up at 7:30 in the morning at the radio station looking like death warmed over. And also, the first time we had him in the studio, I thought Karen Kelly was going to pass out because she was sitting right next to him. I was a little further away from him behind the control board, but I could smell it from where I was. There was a BO issue. Now I'm not making fun of Norm because I liked him and I'm sorry he's gone, but he needed a little cologne or something. There have been situations like that, and I own up to him because when I fuck up, I tell you, because usually there's a good story behind it, and sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it's like this, because it was on this date, 1994. Now, let me just tell you, Drew Carey came flying out of the gate. Oh, my God, this guy's hilarious. His first spot with Johnny on The Tonight Show was absolutely incredible. I mean, he had people rolling, and Johnny Carson, I think he did call Drew Carey over to sit down next to him, which is, you know, like, that's the pinnacle. That's like climbing Mount Everest. You get called over by Johnny back in the day, and I believe he did. So now he's the hottest thing. The phone apparently just started ringing, like 300 phone calls the next day with people offering him show business gigs. And success may have been a difficult proposition for him, because the next thing you knew, all you were hearing about is Drew being drunk and hookers and half-naked people running around. And couple of things that went sort of like beyond awkward and almost approaching illegal, stuff like that. And then just as fast as his star rose, it started to fall. And it looked like that might be the end of Drew Carey. Now, that's hard to think of right now. But back in the day, and this was, like I said, 94, when we had him in the studio, this was when we were on the river in the morning. I didn't even really take the interview very seriously, and it was sort of like, oh yeah, Drew Carey. It was almost like, you used to be Drew Carey, one of those things, because he was doing a comedy club in St. Louis, and I'm just thinking to myself, this guy's done. And a year later, he had the most popular show on television with The Drew Carey Show. But yeah, that was on this date in 1994. But Norm, we took seriously, absolutely. On this date, 1989, Dennis Miller played Washington University. I emceed that show. And on this date in 1988, I was in Los Angeles doing interviews. There was this movie called Funny Farm with Chevy Chase. And the movie wasn't very good. But you got to remember, Saturday Night Live went on the air in 75. This is 88. So this is only 13 years later after, you know, and he had been doing the Fletch movies. And trying to remember, he hadn't done Vacation yet, but that was coming. And now you couldn't pay me to talk to Chevy Chase, because despite the fact that he has show business friends that I really, really like Steve Martin and Martin Short, Chevy Chase himself, man, I've heard enough stories. I have heard enough stories about what a total dick he is. I was in New York doing interviews with Bruce Willis in 1995 on the stage for Die Hard 3. People forget there was a Die Hard 3, and if you saw it, you understand why people don't remember it. And it was on the date in 2006. Get a call from Joe Buck. Joe Buck says, we're doing this big celebrity softball game to raise money for, I forget what the charity was, and it's going to be the former St. Louis sports stars, sports celebrities, against you media guys, and I'll play with the media side. Joe played first base, and I pitched. Well, after, I think it was three innings, we were beating the athletes 10-0. And they weren't very happy about it. And one of the people on the former athlete's side was Kelly Chase. And Kelly was not amused. You know, when you're a competitor at that level, it doesn't matter if you're playing tiddlywinks. You don't want to lose. You could be playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots with a three-year-old, and you still want to knock his head off. He's three! I don't care! He needs to learn a life lesson. So after about, I think it was five innings, it's 13-0. you know, Martin Kilcoyne is playing with us. I think Brian McKenna was out there. And Joe Buck brought his buddy along, Jason Patrick, the actor. And he and I were talking in the dugout. We just hit it off for some reason. The whole time I'm looking at him going, you boinked Julia Roberts. So anyhow, I was having a particularly good game. I don't always play this well, but I was having a really, really good game. And I hit, it was like the sixth or seventh inning, and I hit my second home run. And I'm coming around third, and all of a sudden, just appearing out of nowhere as I'm rounding third, here's Kelly Chase coming up the third base line towards me. And I figure he's going to do something sort of funny, and I just sort of go along with it. Kelly Chase, as I'm rounding third, I'm not making this up, I'm not exaggerating it, and I can prove it here in just a minute. Kelly Chase picks me up, carries me over to in front of the third base dugout, and body slams me like a real body slam. Now, I think he thought that was funny, but, you know, as I said here today, I've had three back operations. And also, I'm just sort of frail in general, compared to Kelly Chase. And I got up, I dusted myself off. He thought he was laughing. He thought this was really, really funny. And I was like, am I going to end up in a wheelchair for the rest of my life? Now, we play the game. Everything's fine. Everybody says goodbye. We take a team picture. It's great. 7 a.m. This was on a Saturday night in Metro East. It was at that GCS Federal Credit Union ballpark in like Sauget, wherever it is. So 7 o'clock the next morning, it's a Sunday morning, the phone rings. That's generally not good news. You know, that sort of means somebody died. Nobody died, but I was close because it was Joe Buck calling me at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday to find out if I was all right. I'm like, yeah, I'm a little sore. He goes, you know, what happened? We were sitting in the dugout. We sort of caught it out of the corner of our eye. And I remember saying to Jason, did you see that? He's like, yeah. Are they fooling around? Did they rehearse that or something? I don't think so. Hockey players just have a unique perspective on life, on and also on physicality. There's another. This is my other hockey story. So this was 1980, and I'm running a radio station in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we carry the International Hockey League games played by the Grand Rapids Owls. That's right, the Mighty Owls. So we're shooting a TV commercial, and the idea is that I'm standing there on the ice. I deliver a line, and then one of the players from the Grand Rapids Owls is going to skate up real fast, spray me with ice, toss me a puck, and then I deliver my line. That player was Guido Tenisi. Guido Tenisi is in the movie Slapshot. That's maybe, what, halfway through the movie? There's a scene. He's a big, tall, blonde guy, and he comes walking in with two 15s on each arm. I don't know where they found these girls for the movie, but Jesus. So, and that's his scene, and that's really all he does. He just shows up looking like a badass, all right? So he was in the movie Slapshot. So he's playing for the Grand Rapids Owls. So we do a couple of takes, and the guy who's sort of running the show, he's sort of directing this whole thing, is standing just off camera, and not only was he my boss, but he was also one of my best friends at the time, and apparently, this is unbeknownst to me, he whispers to Guido between takes, hey, on this next take, take him out. And Guido apparently looks at him like, what do you mean? He goes, just, you know, like, hit him, bump into him, do something. You know, I don't know exactly what the words were, but in Guido Tenisi's mind, the mind of a professional hockey player, take him out means rearrange his molecular structure. And so I'm standing out on the ice and I'm talking to the camera and I don't even remember what happened because I blacked out. He hit me so hard. He hit me like I was another hockey player in full equipment. That, in fact, may have started my neck and my back problems. That was 1980. Be careful what you say to hockey players. The moral of the story. And then two more quickies from the calendar. This goes back to 1971. Now, I have all of my planners going all the way back to 1982. So you're like, 71? Well, I remember this because it's just my favorite story about the ineptitude of my high school baseball team. Now, we had a decent team. We had some decent players. We were up against guys at other schools who just were better than us. And we were having a rough season. And we were playing this team, Hales Franciscan. It was all the black guys. And they cleaned our clock. I mean, we lost, and we lost big time. So the game is over. And instead of letting us go home, our coach, Mr. Chuck Schwarz, who I had very little respect for because he was also the basketball coach, and he stacked the baseball team with all these basketball players, and it's like, wait a minute. Just because you play basketball well doesn't mean you're going to play baseball well. And I think his attitude was, well, they're just athletes. They're just athletes. But I belonged to the group that played baseball only, and we were good, but we weren't getting playing time. And I've told this story a million times, but this coach sits us down, gives us this big, long speech about how we're not playing like a team, you're not playing like a team, you're not playing like a team, and then delivers the line of the century. He says, and that's why we're 4-4 instead of 10-0. This guy was a teacher. That's why we're 4-4 instead of 10-0. And it was on this date in 1984 that I was sitting at a Chinese restaurant on Watson Road with the entire brain trust of KSHE Radio in Crestwood. And the boss said to me, there's like 7 or 8 people at the table. And he says to me, well, we would like to bring you on. Can you do it for $35,000? And I said, I could do it better for $40,000. And they all laughed. And then they said, all right. And I started. Got hired in St. Louis on this date in 1984. A couple of weeks, we'll be doing some highlights for the 39th anniversary of my arrival in St. Louis here on the J.C. Corcoran podcast. That'll be coming up in a week or so. And the guy who taught me virtually every single thing I know about running a computer, doing the podcast, and just sort of, you know, engineering this in a semi-professional fashion every day. Everett Marshall, celebrating birthday number 57 today. Happy birthday to the big man.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything. Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
Oh, they're about to, all right. New at Taco Town. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
Awesome!
And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, Gruyere, merguez sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Can I eat it now?
Sure. But not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a Taco Town taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one.
Taco Town!
The new pizza crepe taco pancake chili bag. Only at Taco Town.
Taco Town!
Música sonido éxito.
Do you have any Mexican Americans with us today? La Buenos Dias.
Oh my goodness, I cannot believe this. Did you see that man? Oh my god, she got her tongue onto the beach. Baby, with all that cellulite you got going on down there, you need to wear a beach blanket, not a beach towel, okay? Ooh, that gusto sandalist, you know that girl can handle it. Eating that twiggy like a big old witch, with a look in your eye like you want some fried fish. She like to eat at the buffet spot, she will eat everything, even crumbs and drops, macaroni and cheese. She ate the whole pot, she was in Jalupa Loca. She eat chicken by the truck, truck, truck. Hams like what, baby talk your gut, gut, gut. I think I sing it again. She eat chicken by the truck, truck, truck. Hams like what, all night long. You never feed that dog. Oh, baby. Look at that fat ass go. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there's just certain men who know how to talk to women. There's a perfect example. By the way, Mexico's real name is not even Mexico. It's the United States of Mexico, otherwise known as Estados Unidos Mexicanos. The country is divided into 31 states plus the federal district. Each state has its own laws, regulation, and police, similar to America. All right. And, of course, got the Kentucky Derby on Saturday.
And down the stretch they come.
Ah, yes. The former voice of the Kentucky Derby, Dave Johnson, right there, the brother of Drew Johnson, who is a great guy, been on the radio in St. Louis for years and years and years. And that's what happens. You know, he's the voice of the Kentucky Derby for like 25 years. And then one day the ABC says, oh, we're not going to do the Derby anymore. NBC picked it up. And suddenly he's not the voice of the Kentucky Derby anymore. It's a shame because Dave Johnson, man, oh, man. He used to be out with Letterman all the time. Right before the Kentucky Derby, they even had this thing where Dave had a phone on his desk and he would just pick up the receiver and you would hear,
and down the stretch they come.
Oh my god, that was funny stuff. The nightmare of Kim Gardner has come to an end. The question becomes, when does the nightmare for your St. Louis Cardinals come to an end? Oh man, look, Jack Flaherty gave up 10 runs yesterday. He was the starting pitcher. It's not that bad. It's not like it was 15, right? Yeah, I don't know. Well, it appears that John Mozeliak and Ollie Marmol are not going to be the ones to take the hit for what's going on with this team right now. And like I said yesterday, if you know the DeWitts, you know that they don't like stuff like this. They don't like to look compromised or embarrassed. So something's going to give. So yesterday, after, and I've been following this now for a couple of weeks, there have been so many rumblings about this, and I probably checked 15 or 20 different places, and everywhere you look, wherever there's some sort of discussion about the Cardinals maybe making a trade, the name that is on every list I've seen is Tommy Edman. Now, Tommy Edman had a good game yesterday. But, you know, I posted this saying, look, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see some sort of trade. I don't know who the starting pitcher is going to be, but the Cardinals probably have somebody in mind right now to try to bolster this starting pitching staff. And it sure looks like some of the bait involved here is going to involve Tommy Edman, because that's sort of the linchpin in this whole thing. Everybody wants... Oh, you know, maybe they'll take Tyler O'Neill. A lot of people interested in Dylan Carlson. A couple other names here and there, but those are the names most frequently being discussed. And this is everything from sports radio stations across the country, especially with teams that could potentially be involved in a trade with the Cardinals. Also, a lot of these guys who work for The Athletic, work for ESPN, you know, just sort of troll the internet every day looking at stuff, and this won't go away. It's just every discussion says, well, everybody wants Tommy Edman. Cardinals have Mason Wynn coming up, but he's not ready yet. He's only 21. He's, by the way, off to a slow start. I think he's only hitting 2 and some change in the minor leagues. So he's not ready yet. But you got Paul DeJong, if he also is not the one interested. You know, there are teams... there's some people in New York who are looking at people like Tommy Edman and Paul DeJong as potential shortstops for their team. So I post all this, and of course, the first thing that happens is people start challenging me on the information and basically telling me that it's just all internet garbage, rumors, and bullshit. I'm like, no, that's not what it is. And in fact, you missed the point of my entire post, which is to say, based on the research that I've done, this is what's coming back loud and clear. And by the way, what research have you done? Answer, don't even bother. I know, none. You're just rattling your trap. God, that annoys the hell out of me. But anyhow, we'll see. Well, let's put it this way. It's just hard to imagine, especially if the Cardinals continue to lose and have your starting pitcher give up 10 runs. It's just unimaginable to me, based on what I know about the people who are in charge of this franchise. It's impossible for me to imagine that something isn't going to be done. Writer's strike continues. It's not going to be over for a long time. Drew Barrymore has backed out of hosting Sunday's MTV Movie and TV Awards in solidarity with the striking Hollywood writers. Russell Crowe apparently was expecting an invitation to the coronation of King Charles this weekend, and he didn't get one, and he found out that the reason why apparently is that during a former encounter, Russell Crowe did not address him as Your Highness. And they're like, write that down in your little book. And for the people who are going to sit in front of their TVs and watch this thing, I don't know what to tell you. Make yourself happy, whatever. Starting next Wednesday, Live Nation offering 25 all-in tickets for 3,800 shows by more than 300 artists across North America. Those shows include Janet Jackson, Fall Out Boy, Maroon 5, Shania Twain, Ghost, Pink, Def Leppard, and Motley Crue, and lots more. Go to Live Nation. You see the details on all of that. There's apparently no truth to the rumor that Kevin Costner knocked up a member of the Yellowstone crew. It's not true. By the way, this is a bummer. Apparently, Jennifer Coolidge would have hosted Saturday Night Live if the writers hadn't shut down and the musical guest was going to be Foo Fighters. And get this one. How did he ever make a decision on what play to call when he was out on the football field? Tom Brady might be backing out of that $375 million broadcasting deal with Fox. Supposedly, he started really looking at what would be involved, and so much traveling involved, which would take him away from home, take him away from his kids, would be too much like actually playing the game. So he might be taking a pass on the $375 million deal. We'll see. It was 62 years ago today that Alan Shepard became the first American in space, 15 minutes up and down. And then Gus Grissom did the same thing, but it was John Glenn. That was the guy. John Glenn, they're like, yeah, we're not going to just send you up and down this time. We're going to send you around. It was supposed to be 7 orbits. And they're like, no, we got a little problem here with your heat shield. You got to bring you down. You're lucky to get out of that one. Adele, 35 today. Brian Williams, 64. Kurt Loder, formerly of MTV, 78. Michael Palin, Monty Python, 80. birthdays on Saturday. Sashir Zameda. God, did I love her on Saturday Night Live. 37. George Clooney, 62. Roma Downey, 63. Tom Bergeron, 68. And Bob Seger, 78. Look at this. Willie Mays still kicking at 92. On Sunday, 80. Bryant, formerly of Saturday Night Live, 36. And Tracy Lords, 55.
And remember, wherever there is injustice, you will find us.
Wherever there is suffering, we'll be there.
Wherever liberty is threatened, you will find
the Three Amigos.
Let's play!
Have a great Cinco de Mayo. Have a great Derby. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.